Welcome to Renew Devotionals. I'm Grace Thweet, the author of this devotional series, Cover to Cover. In this series, we're exploring the unified story of Scripture as we work our way through every book of the Bible. This is part two, where we're covering the Old Testament historical books. The Torah, or the first five books of the Bible, tells the story of how God created the world, how sin corrupted God's creation, and how God began working out his plan of restoration through a family that grew into the people of Israel. The section of books we're on now continues on with Israel's story. In this time with God and his word today, we're studying the book of Joshua. Before beginning, would you just take a few moments to center your heart? Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to his word. Our scripture today comes from Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 6.
No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them.
At the beginning of the book of Joshua, God is about to bring his people, the Israelites, into the promised land. God had promised this land to Israel's forefather Abraham many years ago. Abraham's descendants grew into the people of Israel, and these people eventually became enslaved in Egypt. It's in the first five books of the Bible that we learn of how God rescued them from their bondage, brought them out in freedom, and led them on a journey through the desert. Now, at last, as we see in the book of Joshua, they have reached their destination. A man named Joshua is appointed by God to lead the Israelites into the land. In a miraculous act, God parts the Jordan River so that his people may cross safely into the land. But the land is not uninhabited. The current residents are actually extremely morally corrupt. They engage in things such as child sacrifice and the worship of their idols. So because God is righteous, he's not going to turn a blind eye to this evil. He's not apathetic towards it. God also knows the propensity of humans to morph into what they're surrounded by, and he doesn't want the Israelites to be corrupted by the sin of this land. God's purpose for Israel is that they would show the world the goodness and the flourishing that comes from living obediently under his rule. For these reasons, the Israelites must engage in a series of battles against the current residents. God calls the Israelites to drive them out of the land. One theme that's been consistent throughout Israel's story up to this point is God's desire for his people to depend on him, to have faith in him. And this is not blind faith. Throughout Israel's journey from Egypt to the promised land, God has demonstrated his power. He's performed miracles and taken care of them. He's shown them that he is worthy of their trust. So before they enter the land, God makes it very clear that the people are to move forward in faith, in reliance upon him. Say this a different way, the inheritance of the land is not dependent upon the military strength of Israel. It is dependent upon God's power, which flows out through Israel's faith. God tells Israel to march around the city of Jericho until he brings down its walls. This is a completely absurd military plan when you think about it, but God wants to emphasize that this is about his power. God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous as he leads the people into the land, depending on God. So the Israelites end up having victory at Jericho, just as God said, but the battle isn't over. God wants his people to continue moving forward in obedience. He wants them to push back against the evil around them, to fight to live lives that are holy for him. wants him to do this by depending on his power and drawing strength and courage from him. But as you might have expected, this doesn't happen. The Israelites forget about God's power. They stall out in their mission. Eventually, they fall into the same practices of idolatry and immorality as the original inhabitants that they were called to drive out. But let me show you how this story is connected to Jesus and how Israel's failure made his coming shine all the more brightly. Jesus came to complete God's mission by conquering sin and death once and for all on the cross. He established God's kingdom, and this is a kingdom made up of believers from all nations. Unlike in the book of Joshua, Jesus doesn't conquer through military battles, but instead, he establishes his reign with his word and his spirit through his people. Because of this, we as Christians have a beautiful purpose placed upon our lives. We get to join in Christ's work to bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean practically? It means we share the good news with others that Jesus has defeated sin and is making all things new, and we invite them to learn more about this God who loves them. It means we put on display God's victory over evil by bringing healing and restoration into the world around us, in the way we choose love and forgiveness in our relationships, in the way we meet the needs of those who are hurting, in the way we use our gifts to be a blessing to our community. And it means we walk in this victory by defeating sin in our personal lives. Hear this truth, God's victory is certain. He is going to save people. He is going to heal and restore us and our world to perfection. This victory was secured and sealed and made final at Christ's death and resurrection. But it can be easy for us to lose sight of this because the effects of God's victory haven't fully manifested yet. Remember that the full manifestation of God's victory is coming. One day God's kingdom will be on earth as it is in heaven. We can live in light of this victory. That is what it means to go to battle in faith. In a previous devotional, I told Jackie Hill Perry's story of coming to follow Christ. Like many of us, after her conversion, Jackie struggled with thinking that while God supplied the power for a new heart, it was up to her own power to continue choosing him, to continue conquering the sin in her life. In her book, Jackie recorded the wise words of a friend who helped her work through this. Her friend said, "When Jesus died and rose, he gave you power to defeat sin. Literally. Like you don't have to give in. Every single time you are tempted to sin, just remember the reality that Jesus defeated it already. You're not a slave. You are free. You just have to believe that and walk in it. Power to defeat sin in your life comes from trusting in the reality that Jesus has already secured that power for you. It's that simple. Anything you need, the strength to fight temptation, the patience to love difficult people, the wisdom to make an important decision, God gives you through your dependence on his power. I want you to take a moment to reflect. Ask yourself, am I living with strength and courage in dependence upon God's power? In the way I share the gospel? In the way I live missionally in my work and community? In the way I'm fighting sin in my life? Am I living with strength and courage in dependence upon God's power? Are there parts of your life where you feel like you are losing the battle? remember that you are not fighting by your strength alone. Would you just echo these words with me in your heart? God, I believe that you have already secured the victory. In you, I can defeat sin. I can live missionally with strength and courage. Lord, we thank you for the power you give us. As you worship God during the upcoming worship song, take the opportunity to praise God for this victorious power.
You whisper in the madness. You call my name. At the sound of your voice, all chaos fades. Almighty voice of God, I'm listening. There's power in your word, I can't help but see. Steadfast God.